Okay, today's daf is daf Tzadik Beis. We're holding Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. And we're going to continue having a series of Maasis where the Gemara is going to paskin various Shalas. And first we start off again with a Machloikis between Rami Bar Choma and Rava. And all the Shalas will be quite interesting and fascinating, as we will see. Is Amar Rami Bar Choma, three lines from the bottom of Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis. Reuven Shemachar Soda L'Shimon Shloi Bachrayis. Reuven owned the field, and he sold the field to Shimon without a chrayis. Without a chrayis means no guarantees, no recourse. If someone takes it away from you, it's your headache, it's not my headache. Reuven sold the field to Shimon Shloi Bachrayis. If you'd be so kind, please open up the next corner because somebody's going to come. Okay, fine. So Shimon owns it now. Shimon doesn't want to hold on to the property. The Osa Shimon umachar l'Reuven b'achrayis. He sells it back to the same Reuven with achrayis. Aha. So again, Reuven sold to Shimon without achrayis. No guarantee. They take it away from you. It's your headache. It's not my problem. Shimon subsequently sold it back to Reuven, but this time with a guarantee. And guess what happened? The Osa bal choiv de Reuven. Reuven's Bal Choyf. In other words, Reuven had borrowed money 25 years ago from a person, and that person, now the promissory note has finally matured, that person wants to collect now from Reuven. So what does he do? Reuven has no more property, but Reuven at one time had a property, the one that he sold to Shimon, and the one that Shimon sold back to Reuven. So the Bal Choyf to Reuven is coming back to Reuven on Reuven's property that he's holding now. The Ketor Flaminei, now he's taking it away from Reuven. So now Reuven is without the property, and Reuven wants to now collect from Shimon. It says, Rami Bar Choma, Dinahu di Ozel Shimon, Umavtzilei. The halacha is that Shimon, in fact, has to go and pay back Reuven for the lost, or for the loss of the field. That's for you. That's for you, my good friend. If you prefer a larger Gemara, you can take a larger one. So he has to go and pay him back for the loss of the field. It's very interesting. The reason why the Bal Choyf took it away was because of Reuven. But since Shimon had given a money back guarantee to Reuven, I'm selling you now the property with a chrayis. If the property is now taken away from Reuven, Shimon has to go and pay. I let afterwards Shimon go back to Reuven and say, hey, Reuven, the reason why it was taken away was because of you, and you sold the property to me originally. Reuven sold it to him, Shloi Bachrayis. We're at the top of Tzadik Beis Omer Aleph, second line from the top. Tzadik Beis Omer Aleph, second line from the top. Good. That was what Rami Bar Choma's psak was. And Rashi says that really the truth of the matter is, same thing would apply if Shimon had sold it, for instance, to Levi. Right? Reuven owned the property, sold it to Shimon without a chrayis. Shimon sold it to Levi with a chrayis. The Baal Choyv of Reuven comes and takes it away from Levi. Levi says now to Shimon, Shimon, you guaranteed me, you got to pay me for the property. Yes, Shimon makes good on that. And now what happens? Shimon wants to go back to Reuven. Shimon can't go back to Reuven because Reuven sold it to Shloi Bachrayis. It's an interesting situation that Shimon sold it back to Reuven, but it doesn't make a difference, as Rashi. Could have sold to Levi and to Yehuda and to Yisachar. The important thing is that Shimon did give a guarantee. Reuven did not give a guarantee, and so therefore Shimon is going to be stuck paying off Reuven because of the Bal Choyv of Reuven that took it away from Reuven. That was Rami Bar Choma's psak. Only Rava, the Rava said, no, how can you compare? Nehid achrayis de alma kibbel alei, achrayis de nafshe mi kibbel alei. That Shimon gave a guarantee to Reuven, what was the guarantee? The guarantee is if somebody takes this property away from you, Reuven, I'll make good. Now, although the language is a generic language, anybody takes it away, I guarantee I'll give you back the money. However, implicit, says Rava, was if it's a chrayis de alma, if somebody else takes it away, somebody else, because of me, because of Levi, Yehuda, anybody else. However, if it's because of you, you're the one that sold it to me originally, if there's a defect in the title because of yourself, then I'm not going to go and pay you. So, other types of achrayisim, anything that would have happened, Shaloi Machmaser Uvein, in other words, Machmas Shimon, for instance, Shimon owns this property now, and now Bal Choyv of Shimon comes and says, ah, Shimon, I see you have a property. Very good, I'm going to collect from your property. Okay? So then, even though Shimon no longer is owning it, he sold it to Reuven, but he sold him Bachrayis. So if Shimon's Bal Choyv comes and takes it away from Reuven, so then Shimon said, money back guarantee. However, says Rova, it's not a Chrayis de Alma. It's a Chrayis de Nafshe. A Chrayis de Nafshe means the Bal Choyv of Reuven himself. So Shimon says, I'm going to guarantee you, Reuven, to give you back your field. If the reason why it's being taken from you is because of you, you're the one that's the source of the problem here, because it's your Bal Choyv that I wasn't mekabel on me. So therefore, they have machlokes between Rambam Bachoma and Rova in this case, whether Shimon has to shtel tzu, whether he has to go and pay him back for the loss of his field. But says Imar Omoide Rova, but even Rova, who was the one that just finished off saying that if it's achrayis de nafshe mikibalei, but Uvein sheyorash soda miyankiv umechora leShimon. What happens if Reuven, after all, we never talked about how Reuven got it in the first place. Maybe he bought it. In this case, as Gemara, he yarshined it. Who did he yarshin? From Yaakov. In other words, we're going according to what it says in the Torah. Yaakov had a son, Reuven, and now Reuven yarshined this field from Yaakov. And what did Reuven do? Umechar leShimon, and he sold the Shimon. Shaloi bachrayis. Like our case. V'yosa Shimon umechar leReuven be'achrayis. He sold it back to him. And now, not the Osa Bal Choyv of Reuven, which was the previous scenario, but the Osa Bal Choyv the Yaakov, the Katorif Leiminei. So now, I might have thought, says Rashi, that since Reuven is the son of Yaakov, and we have that famous rule of Bro Karadavua, that a son is like the thigh, like the extension of his father, and so therefore, just like we said according to Rava, that if it was Reuven's Bal Choyv, then Shimon doesn't have to pay on his guarantee. Because he says it's your problem and not my problem. So I might think the same thing applies if he yarshined it from Yaakov, that it's also his problem. He says, in this case, even I, Rava, agree that Shimon would have to make good on his guarantee, even though this problem preceded the whole scenario. The reason why the Bal Choyv is taking away from Reuven is because of Yankov, which is many, many years ago. Says Imar, my time of why taka does Rav agree? Because he said, Bal Choyv the Yankov, give Bal Choyv the Alma dami. Since Rav used the expression, the Achrai is the Alma kibbal alay, it's just Achrai is the Nafshe mi kibbal alay, it makes no difference what the source was. In fact, Rashi says, it doesn't even have to be that it was that Yaakov yarshined this property to Reuven. If Yaakov sold the property to Reuven, and then subsequently a Bal Choyv of Yaakov came on the scene and took the property away from Reuven because of the Bal Choyv of Yaakov, because of Yaakov's Choyv, according to Reuven, has nothing to do with that. It's true, when I bought it, it had that lien from Yaakov. Good, but that's not my issue. And therefore says Reuven to Shimon, I didn't take upon myself a chrayit. Shimon said to Reuven, I'll take care of everything, with the exception of anything related to you, Reuven. Reuven says, not related to me, it's related to Yaakov. Therefore, even Rava would agree that Shimon would have to go and pay him back on the guarantee. And now we have another case in the Gemara. Omram Bachama. Reuven Shemacha Sadal Shimon Bachrayis, like we just had. Reuven sold the field. Our case was Reuven Shloy Bachrayis. Reuven sells the field to Shimon Bachrayis. Money back guarantee. The Zakaf Olav the Milva. What means the Zakaf Olav the Milva? Although Reuven sold the property to Shimon, Shimon did not have any cash. And he said, I won't be able to pay you now. I'm going to pay you in a year from now. No problem. So he bought it on a note. On a note. In other words, Reuven sold to Shimon $1 million. Shimon says, I don't have the cash, but I give you a note for $1 million. In a year from now, I'll pay you off. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Shimon's credit was very good, and he was masking. Okay, what happened in the intervening year? Well, Meis Reuven, Nebuch Reuven passed away, Rechman Litzlan. And subsequently, the Bal Choyv de Reuven, the Katorif lay Mishimon. Now, Reuven's Bal Choyv, and remember, Reuven sold it Bachrayis, knowing that presumably, or Shimon knew, that Reuven perhaps had Bal Choyv, so he said, I want Bachrayis. So now the Balchoyv of Reuven Taka comes to Shimon, he says, Shimon, Reuven died, I went and did an inventory, the Yorshim don't have anything. Reuven Nebuch passed away without a penny, says Rashi. No metaltalin, no karka, zero. But they're Mishubadim. The Mishubadim is that Reuven originally owned this property, so therefore I, the Baal Chayv of Reuven, am now going to collect from you, Shimon, from this property. So therefore, also Baal Chayv of Reuven, the Ketar of Lame Shimon. What did Shimon do? Shimon wanted to retain the property. After all, that's why Shimon bought it in the first place. Shimon may even have already invested money in it. Anyway, bottom line is, Shimon did not want to lose the property. Ufayse bezuze. What did Shimon do? Shimon said to Reuven, not to Reuven, to the Baal Chayv of Reuven, how much did Reuven owe you? $1 million. No problem. The money that I was going to originally give to Reuven for the purchase of this field, after all I gave a promissory note, instead of giving it to the Bnei Reuven, I'm going to give it now to you. He gave the $1 million that he would have had to pay for the purchase price for this property. He had given a note.
He's paying back now.
So now, instead of paying the $1 million to the Bnei Reuven, instead what he did was he paid it now to this Baal Chayv, to this creditor. He gave him the money. Okay, so now what's happening? So let's let the dust settle. The Baal Chayv is now gone home. Shimon has his property. Shimon, however, is out of pocket $1 million, but he should have been out of pocket $1 million because he had to go and pay $1 million to Reuven because of this note. And now the boys, the Bnei Reuven, come to Shimon and say, Shimon, you owe us $1 million on the promissory note. Let's assume the note now matures. You owe us now $1 million. Shimon says, I owe you $1 million. I took the $1 million that I would have owed you, and I got this Baal Chayv off of your heads by paying off the Baal Chayv. That's the second point. The Shimon says now to Bnei Reuven, for two good reasons, I don't owe you money. Reason number one is because they wanted the Baal Chayv of Reuven wanted to go and take money from you or karkois from you and all wonderful things. I got him off your back. I was misalik him by paying off the $1 million. So therefore, you got to be thankful to me. Number two, I bought a bachrayis. The achrayis was that if it's going to be taken away from me, you got to go and pay me back. No, so you're saying that I should pay you $1 million. Fine, I'll pay you $1 million, but you have to give it back to me immediately because of the fact that I have this guarantee of the achrayis. So the chayra Shimon is right. Says the Gemara, no. Says Rabbi Chama, Dina hu di amali b'nei Reuven, anan metaltli shovek avun gaboch, umetaltli yasib l'choi v'loi mishtabdi. What the B'nei Reuven are saying is, we had absolutely no nechasim. Reuven died penniless. He didn't own any properties. He didn't have any cash. The only thing that he had was the right to get paid on this choiv, on this promissory note. Maximum that has a status of metaltlin. It's certainly not karka. So maximum status of metaltlin. Okay. So you're saying now that the Baal Chayv came and he grabbed that metaltlin, that $1 million that you owed us, and that's the reason why you shouldn't have to go and pay. No. You should know metaltli the yasmi le mishtabdi le Baal Chayv. The only thing that is meshubat to Baal Chayv is karka. Our father had no karka. He had no cash. He only had this metalta that you were holding on to. You didn't have to go and give it to the Baal Chayv because that was not meshuvah. You didn't have to. And therefore, we don't have to go. You still have to go and pay us. You're going to go and tell me that the father had achrayis. Achrayis is also only on a karka where there is achrayis. We have no karkois. In other words, your tain is a tain against us, that we should go make good on your father's, on our father's achrayis guarantee. That guarantee also emanates from a piece of karka. Because again, you cannot go and collect on achrayis only from karka. There's no din of shibudim on metaltlin or on money. That being the case, we had no karka, and you could not collect on your achrayis. Now, that being the case, you still owe us $1 million. Dina hu, that he's got to go and pay $1 million. He's got to have to pay twice. He's going to have to go and pay, not that he has to pay, but because of the fact that he paid the Baal Chayv $1 million, that does not help him at all, but rather he's going to have to go and pay under his promissory note to the Bnei Reuven.
What should he have done? He should have paid the Yasmin the $1 million, paid the note,
What he should have done is he should have let the Baal Choyv take away the property. And once, and the Baal Choyv is entitled to the property.
Absolutely.
And now, if he wanted to, he would have said, okay, now you have to make good on the property, pay me back my million, but since I owe you a million, and you owe me a million,
it's a wash.
It's a wash.
But it's still even talking because the money is related to the karka.
So, yeah. Perhaps even less of a talking because it was intangible.
Right.
Which is
the
talking?
It's the halva.
The halva is metal. It's the maximum talking. One could argue it's even less of a talking. It's not even property, it's an intangible. It's just evidence of the talking. Yeah.
According to your explanation from Rahama, if Reuven had said to the Baal, foreclose and then we'll cancel each other out, but once he forecloses, he has the property, and
the Baal Choyv would have the property.
And the Baal Choyv doesn't have a chrys to the purchaser.
For sure, 100%.
So Baal Choyv has the property. I don't care about your note. I want this property. It's now Times Square. It's worth more than a million. Property's going up. It's worth $20 million.
Oh, fine. No,
so why does that work? According to Rabbi Chama, why would that work? According to Rabbi Chama, if the Baal Choyv forecloses and takes the property,
which he's entitled to do. And if Shimon would have let him take it, then
but the achrayus is not from the Baal Choyv. The achrayus was from Reuven, the seller, from the children, the estate of Reuven.
Good.
So
they owe him now $1 million.
So they owe him $1 million. So
and he owes them $1 million.
But Shimon loses the property.
Okay, but so what? But he hasn't lost anything. Bottom line. He had received the property. The property didn't really belong to him because he never paid for it. Yeah, he paid for it with a note. Okay, so now he lost the property. Fine, but he doesn't have to pay for it. So he's off the hook. They're off the hook. And Baruch Hashem. But what happened over here is, unfortunately, Shimon was not well advised. He gave the money. There was no shibud on that money. He had no business giving the money. It's really their money. If you're saying, what happens if he had already paid the money to them, and the Baal Choyv of Reuven would come? He would have no right to get that money because metaltli de yasmin le mishtab de lebal choyv. You can only take from karka. They didn't have any karka.
Some of them was trying to be a good guy. He undermined the right of the yasmin.
He wasn't being such a good guy. He wanted to protect his own interests because he could have told them take the property. The fact that he gave the cash was for his own self-interest. Not selfish interest, but self-interest. Because he wanted to hold on to his property.
Well, no, but Yerushim couldn't have been compelled to pay because if they had cash, they couldn't be compelled to pay that cash to the father's Baal Choyv because that's cash, and cash is not mishtabed.
Exactly. By
paying their bill, he basically undermined their protection from having
that. I understand that.
Right.
He was a good scout.
I understand that.
He was a good boy scout.
He got burned because of being a good guy.
Okay, so now what can he do to unburn himself? Who said this halach until now? Rami Bar Chama. Amarava. Ipikeach idach. If Shimon is clever, there's a way out of this problem. What's the way out? What he can do is, the Bnei Reuven say now to Shimon, you owe us $1 million. Why? Because even though you paid it out to the Baal Choyv, who asked you to pay it to the Baal Choyv? You had no business paying to the Baal Choyv. Okay, so you owe us $1 million. So he says to himself, fine, here's $1 million, not in cash, but I have another piece of property, and I'm going to give you karka of $1 million. So now he has paid his $1 million choyv under his note, he's off the hook, and he gives it to them, to the yasmi. Now he says to them, hey, what about that achrayis that you owe me under your father's original shtar? Oh, we don't have any property. Ha ha! You do have property! The property that I just gave you now. So you're going to tell me, yeah, but this is newly found property that just came on the scene now, and that was didn't have a shibud of the father. Kirav Nachman, the Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravua, Yisoyimim Shegovu Karke B'Choyves Avien. If Yisoyimim had a whole bunch of business IOUs owed to their father, and they were able to be Goyve Karke as a result of those IOUs, and now they own the property. This is not considered to be after acquired property that only came on the scene after the father passed away. Because this property was used to redeem a Choyve that was owned to their father. So the father owned this property, or at least he had potentially owned it. Therefore, Baal Choyve Choyzer VeGoyve Oysamehen. So therefore, what Shimon can do is now do a circular payment, a wash sale. Okay. What happens is, Bnei Reuven come to Shimon and say, Shimon, you owe us $1 million because you paid off the Baal Choyv, which you should not have. And now you owe money on this promissory note. Say, Shimon, I agree with you 1,000%. Here, I give you now property, and this property is appraised for $1 million. Good. So now the fellows have that property for $1 million. one day later, or even 5 minutes later, the same Shimon comes back to them and says, hey, now I have a shtar, not a promissory note, but the original deed, which says in it that Reuven, your father, guaranteed payment to me if the property was ever taken away. And that I paid $1 million, the property was taken away from me, that million, and therefore I want to collect now on my achrayis. So you're going to tell me, we have no property to collect from. You do have a property, the new property which I just gave you. So who says that you can go and collect from such, he has money. Who says you can go and collect from such property? Rav Nachman said, Yisoyim shigovu karka tzuvet, shigovu karka, b'choy v'savien. The Yisoyim just, this is our case. The Yisoyim that now collected property for that choy with $1 million for that promissory note. Bal choy, who's the bal choy now? The same Shimon. Choy v'choy v'savien, he can now take it back from the, because this newly acquired property is not newly acquired. It's all because of that original choy. Therefore, he can get it back. Baruch Hashem, Shimon is not out of pocket, and everything is good. And we start a new shtickle. This new shtickle is much easier. Yeah. The Baal Choyv was entitled. He had his full rights. He doesn't. He's only almost like a character actor here. He took the property away, but he was entitled to take the property away because the Baal Choyv had a bona fide shtar. That showed that Reuven owed him money, $1 million from 10 years ago. And because that preceded the sale by Reuven of this property to Shimon, so he had a lien on the property, like a bank has a mortgage on a property, where someone sells the property subject to that mortgage. So the Baal Choyv had a right to foreclose and get his property. Shimon wanted to be Boy Scout, not a Boy Scout. He wanted to hold on to the property for himself. So instead of giving the property, he gave him cash. Very nice of Shimon to give him cash. But as far as the Yisoyim are concerned, they say, you shouldn't have given him cash. Who asked you to give cash? The cash belonged to us. It didn't belong to you. You had no business giving it to him. You're saying if I would have given it to you, then he could have collected, Baal Choyv could have collected from you the Yisoyim. He couldn't have collected from the Yisoyim because totally asked him to establish the Baal Choyv. The only thing he could have taken that property. So you wanted to save the property for yourself. That's your cheshbon and nothing to do with us. Bottom line is, you still owe us $1 million under this promissory note. He says, yeah, fine, I'll give you the million, but you have to give it back to me because of the achrayis, because of the guarantee. We don't have any real estate. Achrayis, you only have to pay for real estate, you don't have to pay for metaltalin. Says Rav, I have a good idea. Give them real estate. What will real estate? Shimon will find another piece of real estate that he has. He'll hand it over to the Bnei Reuven. Now they have real estate. Now he'll be able to go and go even take it back for them on the achrayis.
Therefore, Shimon. He can give them that very piece of real estate.
He can give that very, very piece of real estate. You're right. You're right, 100%, because the Baal Choyv didn't take it away. You're right. He can give the very same piece that we're talking about. He'll give it back to them, and then he'll take it back for himself once again. Zayef. Now, the next case is even much, much simpler. Omer Rabba, Reuven Shemacher Kol Sodois of Shimon. Reuven had many different properties, and for our purposes, let's call them three. He had Idius, Bainus and Ziburius, and he sold all of them to Shimon. And Rashi says he sold them all at one time. Package deal, all of my properties, sold it to Shimon. Because of Shimon, Umachas sold the Achas Levi. Now before Shimon sells it, what happens now if the Baal Choyv of Reuven were to come to Shimon? First he comes to Reuven, and Reuven says, Ichonish, I don't have any properties, I sold everything. So he's going to go now to Shimon, and from Shimon he'll be able to go and collect from him the Beinonis, to what he's entitled to. Because as we know, when it comes to Baal Choyv, he's entitled to get Beinonis. Okay, so he comes to Shimon. Guess what Shimon did? Shimon went v'chozar Shimon u'mocher soda achas l'Levi. Now had Shimon sold all the properties to Levi, then the Baal Choyv would have had to go to Levi. But instead he only sold one property to Levi. Which property? The Gemara doesn't tell us yet. But the Gemara is going to tell us in another two lines, he sold to Levi the Beinonis. He sold the Beinonis. He kept the Idius and Ziburius for himself, and he sold the Beinonis to Levi. V'yosef Baal Choyv de Reuven. Baal Choyv de Reuven comes on the scene, and he looks at Reuven, chonished. Nada, I have no properties. So he goes now to Shimon. Shimon says, I don't have any Beinonis, I only have the Idius and Ziburius. Oh, what does Levi have? Levi has the Beinonis. Jokti ima rotzmi ze goyve, rotzmi ze goyve. The Baal Choyv of Reuven has a choice. He has two options. He can either go to Shimon, or he can go to Levi. The reason why he can go to Levi, because Levi owns the Beinonis. The reason why he can go to Reuven, not to Reuven, to Shimon, the reason why he can go to Shimon, is because although Shimon doesn't own the Beinonis, however, he has Idius and Ziburius. Beinonis means if you have multiple properties, which one is the middle one in value? He doesn't have three properties, he only has two. He certainly doesn't have to give him the Ziburius, or the Baal Choyv doesn't have to take the Ziburius, because the Ziburius is the least valuable, least desirable. And I'm entitled to something more than that. I'm entitled to a Beinonis. The fact that you didn't keep the Beinonis, that's not my problem. The one that's better than the Ziburius is the Idius. So if he wants to, he can go and take the Idius of Shimon, or he can go and take the Beinonis of Levi. It's Rotsim Izegoy, but Rotsim Izegoy. Says Imor Veloyamor and El Dezavna Beinonis. That's only because that's the way we painted the picture, that Shimon had sold the Beinonis to Levi. So therefore, the Baal Choyv of Reuven can either go to Shimon, catch the Idius from Shimon, or he can go to Levi and get the Beinonis from Levi. Albazom the Idius Viziburius, what happens if Shimon only sold the Idius Viziburius to Levi, and he kept the Beinonis for himself? Matzi Omale, when the Baal Choyv of Reuven, if he were to come to Levi and say, Levi, I don't want to take that Beinonis by Shimon, I want to take your Idius, says Levi, Matzi Amalei, Lahochi Tarchi, Uzvini Arad Lechazielach. The reason why I bought the Idius and Ziburius is because I dafka left over the Beinonis with Shimon, so that you should go and collect your Chayim from the Beinonis of Shimon, and not come to me. Aha. Okay, so bottom line is what we have so far. Let's to just do a quick chazar. Reuven sold all his fields to Shimon. Shimon went and now sold, according to the original piece of Gemara, he sold just the Beinonis to Levi. The Baal Choyv of Reuven comes now to Reuven. Reuven says, chanished. Okay, he goes now to Shimon. Shimon says, I have no Beinonis left, but I still have Idius and Ziburius. Where's the Beinonis? The Beinonis went over to Levi. Says the Gemara, you have a choice. The Baal Choyv can either collect from Shimon, there's no Beinonis there. He doesn't want Ziburius, that's the worst. He'll take the Idius. Then he can also go to Levi if he wants to collect the Beinonis. Okay. What happens, says Imara, the other way around? What happens if Shimon retained for himself the Beinonis and Levi took the Idius and Ziburius? Then the only one he can collect from is from Shimon and not from Levi. Because Levi says, that's the reason why I didn't buy the Beinonis, because I wanted to leave your Choyv with Shimon. I took the Idius and Ziburius, and therefore Shimon and Levi would be off the hook, and Reuven would only be able to collect the Baal Choyv of Reuven, would only be able to collect from Shimon.
All the cash in these transactions. There's no cash.
It makes no difference. The only difference it makes in cash is if the original obligor has the cash. Original obligor has the cash, or then you have to have, then you talk about paying with cash. But if the original obligor has no cash, then you go to his karka. If he has no karka, then you go to the people, the purchasers that bought the karka. Anyway, so Abazov and the Idius Ziburius, three lines from the bottom. If Levi bought Idius Ziburius and he left the Beinonis by Shimon, Mati Omale Lahochi Tarchi Uzvini Arad Lechazilach, I specially bought land which was not Ro'uy for you, because a Baal Choyv gets from Beinonis. Says Imor, Ubeinonis Nami Loyamoran, Eldli Shovak Beinonis Kavasa. What happens if there were multiple Beinonis in this, and therefore Levi bought one Beinonis, but he left another Beinonis by Shimon? Then he can go and say, Abashovak Beinonis the Kavasa Matsi Amalei, He Nachil Chamakim Ligvoy Sei Menu. In the case where Levi left over a Beinonis by Shimon, again Levi can go and say to the Baal Choyv, it's taka true, I bought Beinonis, maskim, but I also left Beinonis with Shimon. Therefore, you gotta go to Shimon first and only come to me later. The reason why I left the Beinonis by Shimon is so that you should be able to collect from it and not come to me. Now Rashi is silent on this last jikl of Gemara. Tosis points out that although the Gemara says Hinachnul Chamakam Ligvus Emenu, this lashon really is not, it's pasnei sharayin, it's really not suitable for this piece of Gemara. It's really a borrowed lashon, because the term Hinachnul Chamakam Ligvus Emenu is normally used when you're talking about the original obligor, in this case Reuven, and if you have the original purchaser, which was Shimon. That, let's say, Shimon, for instance, would have bought Beinonis, but he left Beinonis to Kavasa by Reuven, or for that matter, Rashi and Tosfos point out, if he left any property with Reuven, so if the Baal Choyv wants to come to Shimon, Shimon go and say, Hinachnul Chamakam Ligvus Emenu, you cannot collect Mishubadim before you collect the Bnei Choyrin, you got to go to Reuven. And therefore Rashi points out throughout the sugya that in fact what happens if Reuven were to go and sell all of his beinnesin, or all of his idios and all of his beinness, and the only thing he left over for himself was the burias. When the Baal Choyf comes, the Baal Choyf cannot say, I want beinness, and then jump to Shimon or to Levi or somebody else. He has to take it from Reuven. The reason for that is because we have a rule that you cannot go and collect from Mishubadim the Mokim Shiesh B'nei Choyrim. B'nei Choyrim means any type of B'nei Choyrim. So as long as Reuven has any type of field, even if it's in the worst neighborhoods, and even if it's the least producing of all the fields throughout the country, but nevertheless, if it's worth the value of the Choyv, even though it's Ziburius, the Baal Choyv collects from Reuven the Ziburius, and he cannot go and collect from Shimon the better, the idius, the beininess, or anything else, because that's the klal of Hinach l'chamokim ligvei semen. But that only applies to the original Ablagor. Here we're talking about that Levi is saying to the Baal Choyv, that I left beininess by Shimon. Says Tosis, that really is not shaykh, because there you don't say Hinach l'chamokim ligvei semen, that's an expression that applies only to the original Ablagor, to the original Reuven. What he really meant to say, says Toisvis, is Mamocha Rishon Lisheni Kol Schus Shetovoy Liyodek. What does that mean? So let's look at the top Toisvis. As you notice, it's a rather short omid of Gemara. We're not going to learn the long Toisvis. Don't be noivis. We're just going to learn the first two, three lines of the top Toisvis. Avoshovik Beinis De Kavosa Motzi Omele Hinach L'chamokam Ligvis Semenis, says Toisvis, Lav Davke Komar. Those words are really not precise, because Hai Lishna, the Loishayach Loimer Hachi, and the Gabi Balin. The Gabi, the original Balin, being going to say, Nach Lechamokam, I left over properties for you to collect, don't come to me. But not that the Lekech Sheni, which is Levi, he cannot say, Hinach Lechamokam, I left properties with Shimon. That Loshin is not Shaykh. The Iketam Lechaba, the real reason is, any time a person sells property, he sells with it a pertinent thereto, in other words, in addition to the property, he sells him called schus shetova liyode, any type of schus that normally would accrue to me, to Shimon, I sell that to you, to Levi. Aha. V'hu hoyiyochalit choyse eitzel beinnes acheris de kavosa. If Shimon would have retained two or three beinenesses, and now the Baal Choyv of Reuven wants to come to Shimon to collect one of those beinenesses, Shimon could go and tell him, you don't have the right to point to a field. The fields aren't mine. I will give you, you're a taker entitled to a beinenes, I'm asking. But if I have two or three beinenes, I'm going to give you this one or that one. I prefer giving the other one. I want to keep the other beinenes for me because I have another property right next to it, and therefore the overhead is better and blah, blah, blah. So Avada, Shimon would have the right to go and select which beinenes he's going to hand over to the Baal Choyv of Reuven. And so therefore, the same thing now applies to Levi. Levi, ma mocha rishon l'sheini, kol schus shetova liyode. Levi bought that right to go and select which beinness. And so therefore Levi said, it's taka true, I bought one beinness, but I left over beinness to kavasa by Shimon. And therefore I'm just like Levi could have pointed and said, take this one instead of that one. I'm sorry, just like Shimon could have said, take this one instead of that one. I, Levi, have that right to go and say, take this one instead of that one. Which one is this one? The one that I left over with Shimon, which I did not buy, and I bought the other one. So therefore, now Locha comes out the same way. All Toisus is saying is, looking at the Gemara again, Avoshavak Beinis to Kavosa, if Levi left over a Beinis with Shimon, Motzi Omalei, Levi can now tell the Baal Choyv, go and collect from the Beinis which is with Shimon. Not because of the literal words, because those words are really only a Shaykh if we're talking about the original Reuven. I left over properties with the original Ablagor. I'm not saying that. Rather, I'm saying, I, Levi, bought the right from Shimon. Not only I bought the beinness, but I bought the right to go and point to which beinness you should collect from. I'm pointing now to Shimon's beinness, collect from there, and I'm going to keep my beinness. Okay, brand new case, and this case is even much, much simpler. It's much simpler than all the cases we had so far. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. We're getting used to it, so it's much simpler. Om Rabbi, Reuven Shemachar Sodel Shimon Bachreis. Reuven sold the property to Shimon with Achrais. The reason why he sold it by Achrais, Shimon asked his title company to check out title, and he found out that Reuven has a bunch of Balei Chayv, and he's afraid, I'm going to buy it, that the Balei Chayv of Reuven are going to take it away. So therefore, Reuven said, I give you a full money back guarantee. If anybody takes the property away from you, I'll make good on it. And guess what happened? Shortly thereafter, the Yosabal Chayv de Reuven, the Gatara of Laminei. And they're now in foreclosure proceedings where the Baal Chayv of Reuven is trying to take this property away from Shimon. Now, if you look formally at the court docket, you'll see it says in the court docket, who's the plaintiff, Baal Chayv de Reuven? Who is the defendant, Shimon? Because Shimon is the one that owns the property. And there's a whole masumatan. There are lawyers and the court cases and the hearings. Baal Chayv de Reuven versus Shimon says, Abaye dinahu to asu Reuven umafzilei. Reuven can, if he wants to, he can intervene in this case, even though he's not a party to this case, but he can go and try to defend Shimon's position, which is really his own position, because the reason why the Baal Chayv of Reuven is taking away from Shimon is because of that original Chayv of Reuven, and so therefore Reuven has a right to go and intervene in the proceedings and be on the defendant's side, on the side of Shimon. And the plaintiff Baal Chayv de Reuven can say, you get out of here. I didn't sue you, Reuven. I'm suing Shimon to go and get the property because I'm entitled to have a shibud on it. I'm foreclosing not on your property, on his property. What are you doing here? But the reason why Reuven is an interested party and he can intervene, Mishim de Omalei, de Mafkis Minei Olai Hodar, since I gave him a money back guarantee, as soon as you, the plaintiff Baal Chayv de Reuven, if you're going to be victorious in this case and you're going to take the property away from Shimon, it's going to hit me in the belt, or not in the belt so much, but in my pocketbook, in my pocket. Why? Because after that, Shimon will collect the funds from me. Since he's going to collect funds from me, then I am an interested party in this Masu Matan, and therefore he's allowed to go and get involved. Now, it sounds like this from the Gemara. What happens if Reuven sold it to him, Shaloi be'achrayis? So the Reuven is totally off the hook. That he would not be able to intervene, right? Because he has no financial interest. Says Gemara, even if Reuven sold it to him without any money back guarantee at all, he can also intervene in the case and try to defend and help out Shimon. Why? Because he tells the Baal Chayv of Reuven, even though I don't have a financial obligation to make good on the sale, but you can imagine for the rest of his life, Shimon will never look at me in the eye. Whenever I come to this matter, Shimon's going to move to another table, he's going to look at a wall, he's not going to want to have anything to do with me, because I lost my money. Or Shimon will say, I lost my money because of Reuven. And Reuven duped me into going and buying this field and telling me everything is fine, don't worry, it's on good, but he didn't give me any achrayas, and therefore he has a terumis. Terumis means not that he has a financial claim, but he has a tremendous taina, a moral claim against him. What did you do to me? You made me fall into this terrible bar and I can't get out of here, and it's terrible. So therefore, again, Reuven would have the legal right to intervene in this proceedings to help out Shimon, even though Reuven has no personal financial stake. He only has a personal moral stake that he's upset, that Shimon would be upset against him. And now we have the final case before we get to the Mishnah. Omer Abaye, Reuven Shemocha Sodel Shimon Shaloi Bachrais. Reuven, even though it says Shemochar, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's still in negotiation. Reuven is about to sell to Shimon Shaloi Bachrayis. Shaloi Bachrayis, again, without a guarantee. It's already closing morning. Everybody's getting ready to finally go and sign on the dotted line, transfer the money, transfer the goods. However, before they had a chance to close, V'yotzu olavasikin. Somebody calls there to the closing room, says, can I please speak to Shimon, the purchaser? And yet, Shimon, I want you to know, you're going to buy this property. A minute later, tomorrow, I'm going to sue you in court. These are oirin. I think he means oirin. Oirin means people that are being ma'ar'er on this field. In other words, they're going to lay claim to this field. And they call up Shimon, and they say, Shimon, beware! Let buyer beware. Caveat emptor, right? Because tomorrow we're going to go and sue you and get that property away from you because it happens to be an alta choice.
It's not the independent people. They're the gap on the property.
The Asikin are saying this property really belongs to us. Why does it belong to us? Reuven stole it from us. Reuven owes money to us, and we're going to take the property away. And as you can well imagine, Shimon is very nervous now. And he has good reason to be nervous, because if he goes through with the sale and he pays the money, he won't be able to get his money back, because Reuven is selling it to him shalloi b'chrais. Because it's without a guarantee, obviously, that will mean a discount factor into the price. But fine, I won't pay $1 million, I'll only pay $500,000. But I don't want to pay $500,000 if tomorrow I'm going to have a lawsuit, somebody's going to try to get the property from me. So says the Gemara, if Yotzu Ali Asikin, they haven't closed yet, and these Asikin, these Ma'aridin, these third parties are coming and saying, the property is ours. Ajle Hechsikpa, he didn't make a kinyan. And Rashi points out, and he also didn't pay the funds. He hasn't paid yet, and he didn't make a kinyan. What's a kinyan? So we know from Masechtas Bava Basra, how do you go and do kinyonim on fields? Also from Kiddushin, a number of Gemaras, you go and do it, you can be Dayish HaMetzrim, which means even just by walking on the property, you do a chofar kolduhu, a paras kolduhu, you put up a small gather, any type of little schmitchik, any type of little repair, this, that, the other thing, whatever you do, a small chazaka, that's enough for the kinyan. There's a din of 3 years chazaka, but that's not the kinyan chazaka, that's just rais, that's just evidence. Here we're talking about the kinyan chazaka, mitakleinikait. So this fellow didn't do chazaka, he didn't pay the funds. Yochel lachzabai, he could change his mind and say, forget about it, I am not closing. I am not, you have to close, I'm not closing. I don't want to lose my pants, I don't want to lose my money.
Isn't there a Misha Parkers and somebody backs out of a transaction?
Maybe, but we're talking now, if they could, but as far as we're concerned, the bottom line is, he didn't do a chazaka, he didn't do money, yochel lachzabai, we'd let have charat. Misha hechzikba, once he already made a chazaka, any yochel lachzabai, even though he didn't pay the money yet. Because once he makes the kinyan, now it's his, and now the money is just a chayv, he owes him the money. And if the asikin come tomorrow, it's not Reuven's problem. Reuven says, you owe me the money, and I took it shaloi b'chrayis, I sold it to you shaloi b'chrayis, I'm off the hook. Mishum de omale, Reuven can go and tell Shimon now, even though Shimon didn't pay the money yet. He only made the chazaka. See, he says, I want out of here, I don't want to pay. Says Reuven, no, you have to pay. Mishum de omale, he tells him, chayse de kitri sabres v'kabilis. This is a, if you will, a pejorative lashon. Chaisa means, says Rashi, sack cotton, a small sack. The kitri, molek sharim, full of, we would say today, full of air. But here the Gemara says, full of knots. It's all knotted up. Sabbath Kabilis, you agreed to go and buy this for money. In other words, you could have known, you should have known, that what you were buying was really worthless, because there's a tremendous cloud over this property. You ignored that. You got a major discount because of the fact that Shloi Bachrai is, but you agreed. You made the kinyan, it's yours. Now it's your headache, it's not my headache. Umeimis machzikba, we said before, actually hechzikba, what's the definition of chazaka? Like we said before, michi daish hametzri. What means daish hametzri? This is just one example of many examples. Daish HaMetzri means that he started walking on the property to go and figure out what the mitzarim were. In other words, anybody that owns a piece of property knows you have to know where the property line is. You were Daish HaMetzri, you already treaded on the property line to go and establish and say, oh, from here is mine, and then that side belongs to you, etc., etc. So he was already in the property and being machzik. Okay, so this case was talking about Shaloi Bachrayis. What happens in a case b'achrayis? In other words, Reuven sold a property to Shimon b'achrayis, money back guarantee. Yotzu aleh asikin, and now there are ma'orim and saying that this property, we're going to take it away because of a choyv that Reuven has.
He's about to sell b'achrayis.
I'm sorry?
He's about to sell
b'achrayis. You're right. Thank you. This sale, even though the lashon of the Gemara is the Shimocha Sada, he didn't actually sell it yet, but they're about to. They're at the closing room. Thank you. They're in at the closing. They're getting ready. And Reuven, in fact, gave him a money back guarantee the whole thing, and now there are Asikin coming on the scene. If he didn't do a chazak, he didn't do a kinyan, okay, he didn't make a kinyan, he didn't pay, nothing happened, maybe Mishapara, but that's it. But what happens if he already made the kinyan, but he didn't pay yet? Now Shimon hears from these Ma'arin, oh no, what did I get myself into? But Shimon remembers that he bought it for Achrayis. So he says to Reuven, Reuven, I owe you $1 million, but you're going to owe me $1 million as soon as they take the property away. Let's each one cancel each other out and forget about it. Here, take back your property. I'm not going to go and pay you. That's what I would have thought, right? Because I, Shimon, am now going to owe Reuven $1 million, but these Asikin are going to take it away from me eventually, and therefore he's going to have to make good on his achrais. He's going to have to pay me back $1 million. Let it be a wash, and let's go home. I won't pay you, you won't pay me, and gend it. Says Yimor, no. Ikedi amra filib achrais nami. The omalei Reuven can say to Shimon, ach v'tirchav tirfach v'ashalom loch. My money back guarantee was only triggered at the time that you lose the field. It's not triggered now. The fact that there are plaintiffs out there in court suing you, we know that there are frivolous lawsuits every day of the week. People go and sue, and sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. They said, if and when they're going to win, then I'm going to have to make good on $1 million. But in the meantime, they may lose. So I'm only going to go and pay on my guarantee when you lose the field. Call me back in a year from now or 5 years from now when you lose the field. Have a good day. Yeah.